This is Talking Business.
My next guest is Kirsten Carriol, who's the founder and CEO of Lanolips. G'day, Kirsten.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Good. Now, you started the business in 2007, so 10 years ago. What interested me about the notes on your website is that it was after 6 years of development. Which was amazing. I mean, why do you need to develop Lanolin so much?
That's a good question. So we actually launched in 2009, but I had the idea in 2003. So there was a number of factors which contributed to a very long incubation period, not least of which being female and having a startup in the manufacturing industry worked against me, and I got a lot of knockbacks.
Really? They didn't take you seriously?
No, no one wants to work with a startup in general in skincare and cosmetics. They all want booming $20 million businesses from the get-go. And also I had an idea that was unconventional at the time to create a lanolin, you know, truly lanolin-based brand.
I thought lanolin had been around forever.
Yes, it has.
Been using it forever.
Yes, you would think. And it has been around in name and in different forms. So what we grew up with was this sort of 1970s style lanolin cream, which Faldings was the brand that I used growing up. I'm not sure if you remember Faldings.
Yeah, I remember Faldings.
Which is basically lanolin and paraffin oil mixed together, and it's a perfectly perfectly nice product, and it certainly did the job, and that's what my parents would slather all over me. But it's not really a proper brand, you know, like a Jolique style brand, but using lanolin as the hero. My background was farming, and my grandparents owned a sheep farm, and we grew up with the smell of lanolin, which is from the wool of the sheep, of course, part of my childhood. And my grandparents would go and shear the sheep, and he would come back with these super soft hands from the lanolin that impregnated these big, thick, hard-working hands. And on the same site and the same time, my father is a scientist in genetics and DNA, and he would teach me that lanolin molecular structure is almost identical to human oils because it's animal derived. So that made sense. So for me, lanolin was something I grew up with, and I think a lot of Australians did in the 1970s. And then I kind of left my little hometown and went travelling and discovered the glamorous world of beauty products.
Where was your hometown, by the way?
Well, the farm was in the southeast of South Australia, and my parents settled near McLaren Vale. So I would commute back to the farm and every school holidays and then live in near McLaren Vale in South Australia, about an hour out of Adelaide.
So obviously that was where you were formed and your views about lanolin came from, but you also went into beauty product marketing, didn't you?
Correct. So I discovered the glamorous world of beauty products. I just fell in love with the fun of it. And then found myself in a career in beauty. I was just very good at talking about it with my friends, and I became obsessed with buying it. And I just presumed because these things were glamorously packaged and very expensive, then they must be a lot better than what I grew up with. So I hadn't used lanolin for a very long time until I'd been in the beauty industry and had a very successful beauty PR agency for nearly 10 years. And I was on my way to a long-haul flight on my honeymoon in 2003, and I was really dreading the dryness ahead. And I just thought, out of all my years in beauty, really, nothing has worked as well as that lanolin that I grew up with. And that was the beginning of the journey. And the name came to me immediately, but I had a lot of work to do to do a lot of background on lanolin and how to make it beautiful and why it had gone away, which is a very long story, and how to bring it back.
So did you have to change the actual formula at all? I mean, is it just absolutely pure lanolin, or are you doing something to it?
I had to reinvent the image because lanolin had a bad reputation. I had to find out why. And the reason why was back in the early noughties, late 90s, lanolin had a bad reputation of being an allergen in skincare. as a result of faulty research done dating back to the 60s and 70s, and also the fact that people were using lanolin in formulations that had residual pesticides left in them from farming, which were very, very strong in the 1980s. You know, pesticides were much stronger than they're now, which did cause reactions, and people thought it was the lanolin when really it was low-grade lanolin with pesticides left in it.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still have a debate with a dermatologist about lanolin being an allergen. And I actually had a debate with the head of Dermatology Australia, and they're taught that lanolin is an allergen. And I said to her, I mean, my sister's a doctor now, and in my research, I showed my sister medical grade lanolin. And I said, what's this medical grade? And she said, it's used after surgery on open wounds to help wounds heal. It's used in burns healing. They use it as a nursing cream for nursing mothers, so it's safe for newborn babies to ingest. So I said to the head of the Dermatological Institute, how do you explain the fact you're calling it an allergen, yet it's safe for newborn babies to ingest, and you can't even say that about water? And she had no answer. So I think it's just this thing they're taught and they believe. But as your dad said,
the molecular structure is the same as the oils on your skin. So
yeah.
It can't possibly be an allergen.
No, that's exactly right. So I had to reinvent the image because people were taught by labels on packaging saying things were lanolin free, that lanolin therefore must be this bad ingredient. And that's where my PR background came in handy. I had to start from the core, which is the beauty industry. And they're the ones who talked about the products to the consumers. There were no blogs at that time. And I knew all the magazine writers. And, you know, once I had the product ready to launch, I had to embark on a huge PR program, which continues now. Every time we launch in a new market, I need to go back to education of the ingredient. And, you know, it's interesting, in the last three to four years, every new brand now that's launching a lip balm's now got lanolin pretty much as the base of it. And you would never have had that before my brand sort of reinvented this ingredient and made it non-scary for consumers. And not only that, they realised how amazing it actually is after all.
So what was your first breakthrough? What was the store that, you know, that really made you, do you think?
Priceline.
It was Priceline, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Priceline and David Jones were the two big, we were really reliant on retailers when we launched. We didn't have .com.
Was it hard to get into Priceline?
To be fair, I had a distributor at the time who had that meeting for me, but I had prepared the brand, I'd presented how we were going to market it, I presented how it looked, and they just said yes. Probably wasn't that hard, but I think it doesn't mean it's not hard to get in. We filled a gap that they hadn't seen. We showed how we were going to support it. There's an entire, you know, trade marketing piece you have to do when you're launching with a retailer, and we were very aggressive on that side. And also retailers are quite often comfortable taking on new things and just milking it for a short period and then dumping them. So, you know, in their eyes, we could have made them a bit of money and then they get out. Luckily, 8 years on, we're still there.
Well, you're not only still there, you're in the US. You went into the US a while ago. When did you do that?
We launched into the US in March 2016.
Right.
So 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago. And now it's our biggest market, obviously. It's the US. It's a huge market, and we've only really scratching the surface there still.
Were there any lanolin products already?
There's lots of little bitsy bobsy lanolin in products, but not a proper brand. Like I said, not like a lanolin Jurlique version of lanolin, if you know what I mean. There's not a proper skincare brand you'll see in a department store or a chemist that's a brand and standing proud and talking about lanolin. Apart from what you'll see in a dusty shelf in a chemist saying, here's our lanolin cream, or a duty-free store, lanolin and placenta snake oil style product. So we really sit in that space in the department store, high-end pharmacy, Sephora style retailer with lanolin, which is ironic considering how old the ingredient is.
So you've just launched in Europe. Tell us about what that's involved.
That's involved 15 countries via Sephora, and we're still new in the market, so we'll see how it goes. But all initial responses are All the markets seem to be familiar with the ingredient again. In Spanish, it's called lanolina. In Italian, I think it's also called lanolina. In Polish, I think it might be called lanolina too. And they all the editors I've spoken to, they all know the ingredients, a very familiar ingredient. Once again, no lanolin brand. So I'm always amazed that we're the first. I'm always waiting for someone to come in and you know, be a second lanolin brown. I would welcome that, to be honest with you. I think the more the merrier sometimes. But I think it will end up being a really similar response where people embrace it back again. They're happy to have it. They want to try it. And when they try it, they absolutely love it and it becomes a staple. That's how we've functioned everywhere else in the world. It's like a welcome back with open arms approach.
Well, indeed. Well, congratulations, Kirsten. What a fantastic thing you've done.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I've been talking to Kirsten Cariol, who's the founder and CEO of Lanolips.